How many times will we say it? Things are getting worse for Toyota.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Toyota acknowledged today there were design problems with the anti-lock brake system in the new Prius, which went on sale last year. The company says it had fixed the problem for Prius models sold since late January, but that it was still investigating how to inform people who had bought them earlier. Then there are all those cars Toyota stopped making last week because of an accelerator problem that's still being studied. The company says it will restart production on Monday with workers installing a redesigned gas pedal. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
When Toyota stopped selling the recalled vehicles, it also shut down the six assembly lines that were making them. Jeffrey Leiker is a professor of industrial engineering at the University of Michigan and an expert on Toyota's manufacturing systems.
The Toyota production system is really focused on flexibility.
Leiker says Toyota's used to making big changes on the assembly lines, slowing things down and speeding them up again at short notice.
They've especially done that in the last year because of the recession, because the demand has been so volatile. For them to go from, we're not making any parts, to suddenly we're making parts at full line speed is kind of elementary to them.
Toyota says it decides how many cars to make based on consumer demand and that it's prepared to adjust production when it sees what that response is like. But it may turn out the pedal's not at fault. The government's investigating, and if something else is causing the problem, Toyota could change its production plans again. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And in the last couple of weeks, Toyota stock has dropped almost 25% in Japan. That's a loss of $30 billion in market value. Asian stocks in general lost about 1% today. European shares are down more than 0.5%. Spain's market has tumbled 2.5%, with concerns there about that government's debt. Greece and Portugal are in similar trouble, and the euro hit a 7-month low against the dollar. In New York yesterday, the NASDAQ was flat, but the S&P 500 gave up 0.5%, and the Dow lost 26 points, closing at 10,270. The art market appears to be bouncing back. In London last night, a sculpture by Swiss artist Alberto Giacometti sold for a world record price at Sotheby's auction house. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The sculpture, called Walking Man One, sold for more than $104 million, including commission. The figure caused gasps of surprise in the auction room. Sotheby's had expected the 6-foot bronze to fetch around $28 million at most. 10 bidders battled it out for the sculpture. An anonymous telephone buyer won the day, their identity a complete mystery. Dealers speculate it must be a Russian billionaire or a Middle East collector untouched by the economic crisis. The sale's been hailed as a clear sign the art market has recovered. Ironically, it was a consequence of the crash. Walking Man 1 had been owned by the failed Dresdner Bank. The bank's new owners sold the sculpture to raise funds. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The government takeover of healthcare in this country continues without President Obama's help. A new report by Medicare number crunchers says by 2012, federal and state programs will pay slightly more than half the tab for healthcare purchased in the U.S. That shift is being speeded up by the economic slump and all the baby boomers moving into Medicare.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
A natural gas boom is underway in Pennsylvania, fueled by new technologies that involve drilling into shale deep underground. But environmentalists say thousands of new gas wells could pose serious threats to drinking water. Reporter Joel Rose has that.
The northern Pennsylvania town of Dimmock looks like a pristine mountain hamlet. until you see the tap water.
Looks like pond water, right? Wouldn't you want that coming through your house? Take a shower in it, wash your clothes in it, yep.
Julie Sautner holds up a jar full of cloudy gray water. Julie and her husband Craig say they used to get crystal clear water from their well. That was before the drilling started. Now there are more than 60 natural gas wells here.
Where's the closest one?
976 feet up across the road and up on top of the hill.
Our house is shook.
Yeah, this
is literally shook.
Yeah, I mean, I've already stood on the deck already and have the deck just shake from whatever they're doing underground.
Last fall, the Sautners and a dozen neighbors sued Cabot Oil and Gas. Cabot declined to comment. Like much of Pennsylvania, Dimock rests on the richest natural gas deposit in the country. These days, energy companies can extract gas trapped in shale more than a mile down. But environmentalists like Myron Arnowitt at Clean Water Action say sloppy work can contaminate aquifers near the surface.
There are not enough inspectors in Pennsylvania to really watchdog what is happening with this sort of rush to drill natural gas here.
Last year, Pennsylvania gave out nearly 2,000 new drilling permits, while New York State put drilling on hold to weigh the pros and cons. The Pennsylvania governor is pushing a new tax on gas drilling to help close the state's $500 million budget deficit. John Hanger, Pennsylvania's Secretary of Environmental Protection, says that's an economic benefit.
It would be a mistake to just say no or time out. We can, in fact, produce the gas and protect the water and are going to do that.
Hanger says he's hiring more inspectors and making sure gas companies protect aquifers when they drill. But the Sautners in Dimock say none of that will help them sell a house with gray water. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And finally, we're living in the golden age of chicken wings. You can eat at Atomic Wings and Buffalo Wild Wings and Wingstop and Wing Zone. And this Super Bowl weekend should be huge for a newly popular snack, boneless chicken wings, white meat that's deep fried and served in hot sauce. It's easier to eat than the old wings, and it's surprisingly cheap given how difficult it must be to breed chickens that lack skeletons. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.